Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. Secretary of State Vance is heading for Geneva this morning for 2 days of talks with Soviet Foreign Minister Gromyko, beginning tomorrow, on limitation of strategic arms. But Vance's trip comes at a stormy moment in U.S.-Soviet relations. On the second day of the trials of two leading Soviet dissidents, trials that the Carter administration has denounced in strong terms. We'll have the latest on them in a few moments. And consequently, as we hear from CBS News diplomatic correspondent Marvin Kalb, Vance has little hope of achieving a breakthrough at Geneva. Kalb cites two reasons.
First, the complexity of the SALT negotiation itself. There is still no accepted formula on modernizing new missile systems or on controlling the Soviet-backed fire bomber. The second reason relates to the climate of Soviet-American relations, which Vance at a news conference admitted was aggravated by the current trials in Russia of dissident leaders. Vance stressed there was no linkage, that SALT stood on its own feet. Still, it's apparent there is an indirect linkage. White House spokesman Jody Powell has strongly condemned the trials as a sign of weakness, a repressive action, he said, which strikes at the conscience of the entire world. That kind of condemnation is likely to produce a strong Soviet countercomment. The atmosphere, according to one U.S. official, couldn't be worse for compromising on issues of basic security. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, Washington.
Correspondent Kalb has also learned from sources within the Vance party that the secretary will meet in Geneva with Mrs. Natalia Sharansky, wife of one of the Soviet dissidents now on trial. That meeting, Kalb says, has been ordered by the president. These issues and others were discussed last night at a White House briefing for members of Congress, reported by Lee Thornton.
Some 80 congressmen attended last night's White House briefing to hear the president and top advisors discuss a wide range of foreign policy issues, from the Middle East situation to troop reduction in Europe to SALT and Cyprus. The three-hour meeting was meant to clarify the administration's foreign policy. The White House also used the occasion to reemphasize that it does not intend to link the SALT talks to the U.S. protest against Soviet treatment of dissidents. Reaction was split mostly along party lines. Texas Democrat Jim Wright.
If nothing else, he certainly must have achieved tonight a finer appreciation for the almost infinite variety and complexity of the problems in this world of ours. They aren't simple.
Republican Senator Jake Garn felt differently.
I'm disappointed, frankly, that we couldn't have gotten more specific on some issues. It was a very good general overall briefing, but not very specific, and I personally still continue to be very, very disappointed about the responses on SALT.
There will be more of the sessions as the White House tries to clarify its foreign policy to each member of Congress. Lee Thornton, CBS News, the White House.
White House conduct of foreign policy also came under attack from Senator Henry Jackson. In his speech on the Senate floor, Jackson said, quote, "It's high time that we stop the dangerous practice of entering into unequal deals with Moscow in the misguided notion that Soviet leaders will brand our generosity with restraint in international affairs." Those two leading dissidents in Soviet Russia were back in court this morning, one in Moscow, the other in Kaluga, on this second day of their trials. Bernard Redmond has some details on their physical condition.
30-year-old computer specialist Anatoly Sharansky had not been seen by any relatives or friends for 16 months. His brother Leonid was allowed into the courtroom yesterday and later said Anatoly looked well, self-confident, and cheerful, and showed him a photograph of his wife, who has been living in Israel. In contrast, Alexander Ginsberg, the director of the Solzhenitsyn Fund to aid political prisoners and their families, appeared in poor health. His wife, Arina, who was allowed into his trial in Kaluga after not seeing him for 17 months, said he looked and felt terrible. She said the 41-year-old Ginsberg had gone completely gray and looked like a 60-year-old man. A Soviet official said that while Ginsberg was not in perfect health, his condition was fully satisfactory. Bernard Redmond, CBS News, Moscow.
Indian authorities this morning charged former Prime Minister Indira Gandhi with illegally detaining people during her emergency rule in 1975. Another charge was filed against her son, Sanjay. John D. Rockefeller III, senior member of the Rockefeller family, died instantly last night in a three-car accident near the family estate at Pocantico Hills, New York. The renowned philanthropist, who was 72 years old, was being driven to the estate by his secretary when a car driven by 16-year-old David Lowe sideswiped a car in the opposite lane, crossed the divider, and crashed head-on into the Rockefeller automobile. The teenager was also killed. Rockefeller's secretary and a woman in the third car were injured. Rockefeller's son, Governor Jay Rockefeller of West Virginia, went at once to Pocantico Hills to join his mother. Rockefeller's surviving brothers are Nelson, former governor of New York, former vice president of the United States, David, chairman of Chase Manhattan Bank, and Lawrence, the conservationist and businessman. Another brother, the late Winthrop Rockefeller, was governor of Arkansas. Representatives of the United States and Vietnam will be getting together in Hawaii today amid signs that a diplomatic thaw may be in the works. We'll hear about it from Bernard Goldberg.
The six-member Vietnamese delegation is due to arrive in Honolulu this morning. Its mission, to study American techniques for recovering and identifying the remains of U.S. war dead. The meeting between U.S. and Vietnamese officials comes in the wake of yesterday's statement by a high-ranking Vietnamese official that Vietnam is ready to open full diplomatic relations with the United States, even if Washington refuses to give Vietnam reconstruction financial aid. That is a major policy reversal by the Vietnamese, who have demanded war reparations as a condition for normalization of relations. The Vietnamese arriving in Hawaii today were invited by U.S. officials last winter during a round of talks in Paris aimed at normalizing relations between the United States and Vietnam. U.S. officials estimate there are still some 2,500 U.S. servicemen unaccounted for in and around Vietnam, and the recovery and identification of those missing in action has been another issue keeping Hanoi and Washington apart. Bernard Goldberg, CBS News, Honolulu.
Hanoi today is complaining about an incursion into Vietnamese airspace by its big neighbor to the north. Barry Kalb has details in Hong Kong.
According to the Vietnam News Agency, two pairs of Chinese fighter planes flew deep into Vietnamese territory within minutes of each other Saturday morning. The agency said one pair of fighters flew 15 miles into the airspace over Vietnam's Quang Ninh province, while the second flew 18 miles deep over Cao Lang province. The agency claimed that the planes were over Vietnam for a long time. The agency said that yesterday afternoon, a Vietnamese official handed a note to one of Peking's top diplomats in Hanoi, strongly protesting what it called the serious acts of the Chinese side and demanding that such overflights stop at once. The agency said the Chinese diplomat refused to accept the note, saying he was not yet fully informed about the affair. The alleged incident comes at a time of mounting tension between China and Vietnam, a time when both nations have reportedly beefed up their military forces along their common border. Originally, analysts were saying that a military confrontation between the two was highly unlikely. Now, observers are saying some sort of military action between China and Vietnam is not out of the question. Barry Kalb, CBS News, Hong Kong.
Observers in Bangkok are inclined to view the Chinese overflights as a warning to Vietnam not to get too friendly with the Soviet Union. Western diplomats continue their talks in Luanda, Angola today with the frontline African states and the leaders of SWAPO, the Southwest African People's Organization. CBS News UN correspondent Richard C. Hotlett explains what this is all about.
The United States, Britain, France, Canada, and West Germany see the real chance of cracking one of the toughest problems in Southern Africa and moving toward a peaceful settlement in Namibia. The Western Five are trying to persuade SWAPO to suspend guerrilla war and accept the Western plan for orderly transition to independence and majority rule in Namibia. South Africa has already endorsed the plan, and SWAPO's reservations have been whittled down to one over the location of South African troops remaining in Namibia during the transition. The African states in the area, including Angola, apparently accept the Western formula on that. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News, United Nations.
The U.S. dollar declined very slightly today against the yen in Tokyo and strengthened against the major European currencies. The price of gold was unchanged in Zurich, down about a dollar an ounce in London.